Welcome to the Futile Podcast. If you want to email us, futilepodcast@gmail.com. Tonight we're going to review Kevin Smith's new film, Zach and Miri Make a Porno. And your name's Zach, so you're qualified to talk about it.
Yeah, I am. I'm totally qualified.
Is your nickname also Zach?
It is.
One of the like five funny jokes yeah. in the film.
You laugh way more than five times.
I chuckled laugh, a handful of times, but there were a few things.
There were a few things.
It's, where basically,
you
for
really
me,
laughed really hard at the throwaway thing about them sitting on the ledge where the sign said no sitting. On
that
the
that was funny to me. See, the throwaway things are what's funny to me.
Well, that's all Kevin Smith's humor is throwaway.
Mostly, yeah, but he always tries to orchestrate it around sort of a ham-fisted, hokey, romantic, whatever. Almost every one of his movies that way. Clerks has that. But Mallrats has that.
He completely got rid of the ridiculous dialogue.
To a degree. There was still a handful of pieces.
This was definitely just basically Seth Rogen dialogue. The whole movie was... There was the
Banks,
weird...
Banks felt the most like she was delivering Smith dialogue every now and again.
I don't think so.
About three or four times.
Smith dialogue is so esoteric, and yeah. Everyone says it. Well, I read a really apt review of all his stuff by somebody recently. I forget who it was. But they were saying that he... the thing about him is that it sounds like if you just took away the characters, it sounds like the actors. It sounds like the same character is saying everything.
Yeah, that's
and
definitely
that's
it.
His problem. And it wasn't like that in this. He was able to definitely.
Well, I think Rogan
really
is bringing that.
It really felt a lot more like an Apatowicz type thing. But it was smarter. I think that most of the a lot of the jokes were more high end, and Apatow stuff is usually either way too pop culture based or. I mean, it's mainly just pop culture based stuff, and then foul language. And this had more foul language than anything I can remember for the most part. And usually, and it's descriptive foul language, you know, because of all the porno making.
Yeah, so it was necessary. It was part of the tools of the trade. Smith was lighter on the references than I was expecting him to be, but he had some fun with it.
He is maturing as a filmmaker, I think, even with something as like this looks like a step back in terms of scope and stuff like that from anything else. But it was very Hollywood plotted. It was very Hollywood shot. Brightly lit.
He had the crane thing for the reunion. Talking about working with new gear and
not
everything.
Just that, but every indoor scene had so much lighting in it. You could tell like there was it really did look like an episode of like Everybody Loves Raymond or something like that. Like it was.
It didn't look like a three camera.
Bright.
It looked like a one camera.
I'm talking about the lighting.
Yeah.
Lighting.
Okay.
And so I think he's getting kind of rid of those indie trappings of the actual filmmaking, and his script writing is obviously getting like tighter and leaner and stuff like that too, because he doesn't, you know, I'm not a huge Kevin Smith fan.
I don't know, I felt like this film was a little too long.
I didn't
it was almost that. 2 hours. I got kind of started to roll my eyes and get a little tedious with some of the romantic garbage. I didn't really care for that part of it. I thought it would have been better if it had just stayed sort of as an absurd
but that was the
comedy.
Thing though, is that the only thing really redeeming about it, because it was so completely...
But it didn't need to have anything. It didn't need to have anything redeeming.
Well, it kind of does, though, to be like a mainstream
well, I guess
movie.
To be mainstream, but
and,
I mean...
It,
I'm not going to analyze.
Maybe you should just rent a
that.
Porn, Ian. Yeah.
That's not what
it
I
had
meant.
This, it had this sweet romantic thing to it that was kind of the backbone of the whole deal.
It kind of forced it in the last half, though. They didn't really give you a lot of setup to it in the first half. It seemed like they were pretty much joking, and then all of a sudden, you know, they bang, and oh, it changes their lives.
I don't know. I felt like the first half showed a lot of, like, kind of latent tenderness going on between them. Like, for some reason, I noticed it when he looked down at her name tag and tore it off, and then she tore his off before it. Like everything they did was to look out for each other.
Yeah, like a friendship thing.
But more than that, because there's no such thing as a male-female friendship like that. It just doesn't happen.
Good point.
And,
it did feel like a sitcom in that sense. It's kind of like a woman that's a little too attractive for the fat, dumpy guy, but for some reason, you know, they love each other.
It's still standing.
Attractive women like fat, dumpy guys?
Yeah, that's what TV tells us, right?
It's true.
It must be true.
That's how,
TV.
It's not impossible.
Well, of course it's not impossible. I'm just talking about statistics. Anyway, yeah, you talked about the music. I liked most of the music. I thought it was a pretty good soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack was... I mean, Smith has always been very, very musical, and his tastes are like somewhere in between like mainstream rock and more obscure stuff, usually like when he dumps that stuff into films. A lot of times it's like up-and-coming, like, underground band stuff. But he went to a lot of older things for this. And the Pittsburgh setting was interesting to me because usually...
He just completely stays in New Jersey. It didn't fit the continuity.
It didn't, no. And it obviously didn't fit the continuity because Jason Mewes is in it and he doesn't play Jay.
No, and Randall was in it.
He didn't play Randall. Yeah. So it's not in the View Askewniverse, I guess.
And, you know, I think... you don't like Randall. I like Randall.
I liked him in this.
I liked him in this, too. He stepped it down a lot. He's more laid back.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great. And I actually... when I first... I knew he was in the movie when I first saw the... the goalie at the throwaway hockey game to say, do I have to do everything and then walk forward and knock the guy out? But I was like, that's got to be Randall. And it was. And it's weird for me to see him every time. Like, all those actors that are originally in Clerks, like, the older they all get, like, the more they all get, like, pear-shaped, especially in their faces and stuff. Except for Jason Mewes, who is...
Because he's a heroin addict.
No, he's not anymore. Or he was. He's off, and he's, like, an anti-drug advocate now.
Well, of course. And if he survived it.
Yeah. And he looks so much younger without the long hair, I've always thought. It's really strange, but he looks like a younger version.
Well, I think it's that he's cleaned up now. Yeah, he's probably much healthier, so that helps. It takes
the
age.
But I thought the entire cast was actually really well done. Even the porn stars in it, I thought they acted decently.
Yeah.
The little kind of cameo thing with Justin Long and Brandon Ralph was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was...
I enjoyed it. As long as Justin Long is not having any sort of starring role in anything, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's pretty good in small doses.
He's a great pop-in...
Yeah, do one thing. And he did the low voice.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. That voice was really weird. But I was thinking about Idiocracy. My favorite part in that whole movie every time is when he goes in to see the doctor and it's Dr. Lexus.
Your stuff's all retarded or whatever. Yeah. So you're all fucked up.
Yeah, and he says something about how... there's a lot of tards out there leading real kick-ass lives. He's like, my wife's tarded, and my ex-wife's tarded, now she's a pilot. He just kind of mentions that, you know?
Yeah, in small doses.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. Rogan and Banks are both kind of becoming a little overexposed.
But I love Banks. I think she's absolutely gorgeous, and I think she's a really... It was nice to see her kind of get like a lead role because she really has that kind of charisma for it. Rogan is just Rogan every time.
And, yeah.
You know, he does this kind of like abrasive but lovable.
I don't know, that's the thing I have a problem with, it always becomes lovable in so many of these movies, and it's like, you know what, he's abrasive.
It's like by default. Well, because you know that it's all the abrasiveness is all supposed to be some sort of front because his self-deprecation is to the point where, you know, it's a lot of times self-deprecation from any actor or anything like that out there in any role is usually meant to just be off-putting, like the Conan O'Brien type, you know, like that. But the Seth Rogen type is sold to you as if he really believes it. And it kind of makes it, it's almost like disarming because underneath, you know, since he really does believe it, he's, you know...
That's where the nihilism comes in. That's where, like, yeah, he really doesn't care and things are really screwed up. And so, I don't know, then trying to shoehorn this, like, I do love you and all this other stuff, it just seems so, you know?
I don't feel like it was shoehorned.
I just didn't want that. I felt like the movie could have been shorter if they basically cut that part out and then made it just more about being a ridiculous, funny comedy.
But a comedy has to have that story in it. There's no such thing as a comedy.
Not all comedies have to be romantic comedies.
This one did, or it would have just been a bunch of disgusting sex.
No, it wasn't. That was just sort of a pretext for a handful of jokes. There was a lot of other really funny stuff. What would have been the main character arcs? The main character arcs would have been that they would have learned that they both needed to grow up, probably, like they should have been anyway. Instead, there was no arc.
That's dumb.
There was no arc at all.
The whole point was a guy and girl thing. The whole point of it was supposed to be romantic comedy. That's the whole point.
Maybe I just don't like the romantic
comedy. I really think that Ian just wanted to watch porn.
I think Ian didn't... He noticed that no one cracked their teeth in this, so he thought, there can be love.
There's no love.
It can't be any love.
Well, I don't believe in love, so let's not forget that.
The one thing that I think they messed up on, which happens in a lot of romantic comedies, there's always the breakdown where there's some sort of thing, and then somebody goes away, and then there's like a couple of days or months or weeks later... And what they do in that time that's always a mistake is they focus on one character.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that with him. They you just see him 3 months later. The guy from The Office comes and talks to him.
Yeah. Who's great.
He is great.
He's good in everything. He really is, yeah. I
liked him more in this than I did in Pineapple Express, actually.
Yeah, he didn't have enough in Pineapple Express. And it's like with what they gave him, he did his best.
Craig Robinson, that's his name.
Yeah, that's it. But he was good in this. He had some great, just like the throwaway lines about his wife and stuff.
And then you actually see her and she is terrible. Yeah.
But the best is just when she's like, "White boy, would you fuck me?" And he's like, "What should I? Is it just a yes?"
Yeah, just a yes. Just, oh, yeah. God. Anyway, so what they do is they do that. They show him at the fair or whatever, wherever he works, and then Craig T. Robinson comes, talks to him, and then they go to the house and he sees Randall again, and then
not Randall, he sees Jason Mewes. She's Mewes.
He sees Randall at Craig T. Robinson's house.
Oh yeah,
and then after that 20-minute period of time, or however long it was, 15 minutes, I think, probably about that's all time without seeing Miri. So you haven't seen how she's been
for the last 3 months.
For the last 3 months,
yeah. But like any attractive woman, she's going to wait for the dumpy guy right. for 3 months.
Well,
right?
But that's all for the. You're so superficial.
You know? I'm superficial and bitter, and I don't believe in love.
During that time, she cracked a bunch of teeth.
Yes.
Biting things that he owned, probably.
Uh-huh. Probably.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you believe in love?
Absolutely.
Just say yes.
It was all for the setup of Jason Mewes walking out of the bedroom. That's the only reason why you don't show her there. And I think it's stupid to sacrifice showing her character arc just so you can have the thing at the end.
And the thing is, with clever writing, they could have still had shown her and made convinced the audience that they did have a relationship.
Exactly.
She could have been on the phone with him, like, "Yeah, I'll pick up some milk on the way home," or something. He's like, "That'd be great, thanks."
All it takes is some sort of shot, like while he's driving or something like that, mm-hmm. and then you just, like, there's some sort of musical montage thing, and then you show a shot of her looking wistfully at something. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But it wasn't. That's just not just Kevin Smith's
I think the length of time was too long. 3 months is a long time.
3 months is a long time.
I think it could have been like one month, or six weeks or something. Because that was too long.
Especially for him not to have been in contact with any of those people.
Yeah, and only have been not very far away. Apparently,
yeah, we skipped the plot of this whole thing, which isn't really necessary because you get it from the thing. They run out of power. They decide to make a porno because what's funny, like, instead of giving some complicated. High concept reason why they decide to do this. They just very quickly and easily say, he's like, because we don't have options, we don't have dignity. And that's
it's the mainly thing. They don't have dignity, and they don't really get into the options. I mean, he drives her to work in the very beginning of the movie, and then for the rest of the time, it's basically like she's out of the job. Maybe there was a scene where she gets fired that they get to cut because she's like hanging out at the coffee house most of the time where he works.
He was like sleeping there for, it looked like. At one point, but I think they mentioned they're all sleeping. I mean, that's the thing, though, is like, when you start focusing on stuff like that, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't really matter, but at the same time, don't treat her as, like, let's hope that no, like, left-wingers decide to look at this as some kind of, like, look at the current situation of the economy, people are forced to do this. Like, no, they had plenty of options, they chose to really go in this direction.
This is just a soapbox for you to rail against left-wingers,
isn't it? It's you don't have to do this.
Because you're Republican.
No.
I like how you still deny that. It's really funny.
Okay, I'm glad you enjoy it.
I
saw Clint Eastwood on...
I enjoy your stubble.
I have to get rid of it.
It's looking sharp. Okay, well. You saw Clint Eastwood where?
On AMC this morning, and they were busting him about how he's a conservative. Like, you're a conservative guy, but you seem like you've kind of, done these sorts of movies lately. And he's kind of looking at him all goofy, like... Well, I've always sort of figured I'm more of a libertarian guy. I believe that you just leave each other alone, and do what you do. Kind of like, okay?
Right.
And that's what I am. I'm like Clint Eastwood. Does that help, Internet?
Now that you have some sort of famous person that everyone thinks is cool to base
yourself
upon.
Well, I had South Park before.
The South Park Republican is just Republican.
Not really.
It is. Come on.
No, not based on the way the Republican Party takes a lot of
their
parties.
You make fun of a little of the Republican stuff, and then you make fun of way more of the Democrat stuff.
I don't know. Zach and Miri, I thought it was all right. I started getting a little AD again, because they're making a movie, and so I'm sitting there sort of laughing at some of the jokes of how they improvised, a boom pole out of a hockey stick and a clapboard with, like, the little menu thing. And then... they try to get their stuff together. That's the one. There was a little characterization missing there, because it seems like the Rogan character maybe was like an ex film student or something. Because he knew about coverage and he knew about he could have just read a book, but they never showed
it up on Wikipedia.
But they never showed a scene that would have also had shown more for the character growth to show that he was really motivated to try to learn how to do this right.
I think though, if you don't show that learning thing. Then you imply that the character has a creative side. And that's supposed to be, that's kind of one of the things that comes out of him is that, these dire circumstances...
Force him to be ambitious.
Force him to be not just ambitious, but to accept his creative side.
And that's what makes him attractive to her and all that.
I guess, Though, they also insinuate that, she always loved him.
I'm attracted to Seth Rogen.
Well, more power to you.
Yeah.
I can't say that I am.
Neither am I.
And?
I'm also attracted to Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, she's very attractive. Jason Mewes is surprisingly well hung, if that was his real numbers. I've now seen him and Siegel in recent movies.
Definitely.
The Jasons. And they're both packing.
Do you think they're... Michael Bay is remaking Friday the 13th. Do you think we'll get a third Jason dick in, the remake of Friday the 13th?
Considering that it's a gigantic mongoloid, I hope not.
Pale in comparison, huh?
Yeah. A Sarah Palin comparison? Is that what you want to talk about now?
No, that's not what I'm
saying. Want to talk about politics?
No.
By the time this is posted, the president will have been elected, probably.
Yeah, Obama will have been, you know, mandated and ready to go.
Mandated. Mandingoed. Yeah. Is that what you meant to say? Are you racist? never mind.
Yeah, I don't get
so
it.
So racist.
So I'd give it a 5. I think I'll give it a 3.5. I think I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Let's see what that, how that works in letter grades, because that's how I'm going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
You do your 3s or whatever.
3.5 out of 5.
You do your numbers.
Yes.
Your petty little numbers.
My numbers.
So let's see. A 1 would be an F.
Yeah.
A 2 would be
a
D.
I don't know if a 1 would be an F.
Just, 3 is C.
Yeah.
4 is B. 5 is A.
So I guess I gave
I'm
going
to give it a
B-ish.
I'm going to give it a B-, which is enjoyable for me, because... It was pretty much what I expected it to be. That you never know what kind of jokes you're going to get, and I was pleasantly surprised by most of them. It was incredibly, utterly filthy, and I wouldn't ever recommend it to any sort of family member or parent or anything like that. And I think this is a step in the right direction for Kevin Smith, personally.
I don't know. I don't know if it's really any growth at all. It's just another romantic comedy from Smith.
It's some sort of growth. He has a growth.
I don't know what I want to see him do next. Maybe something a little more...
Well, else can he, well, you know he's doing a sci-fi thing, right?
Yeah. Is that going to be like a serious sci-fi?
It's
semi-serious. I mean, as serious as a sci-fi can get,
it's
action,
comedy,
like an action.
It might be some sort of, but I guess it's a father-son type thing.
Huh. Could be interesting. That's what I heard. At least it's a different genre, I guess. And I mean, he likes sci-fi.
Yeah, obviously.
I'd always heard that like he wrote a really, really good script for the Superman Return, Death.
It's,
thing.
It was very funny.
It was funny.
It was very funny.
But was it like still
but
a good was, like action drama too?
Yeah,
sort of?
Yeah, it was. But the funny stuff, the funny stuff was really like off. It wasn't. It was like, it was just weird little things like he saves a kid from like a falling Ferris wheel or something like that. And the kid was eating a hot dog, and he catches the kid, and there's like mustard in the kid's face. And he like licks the mustard off the kid's face and smiles at him and puts him back down and then flies.
Stuff
like that.
Why did he write that into that?
It worked though, because at the time it was supposed to be Nicolas Cage. Think about it. At the time it was supposed to be
Nicolas
Cage.
Sounds like he didn't
Cage.
Care then. It sounds like a ridiculous script. Yeah.
He cared.
No one's going to lick mustard off someone's face. So you give it a B-, I give it pretty much the equivalent of a B-. Right.
No, go ahead and say whatever the number you want to say.
I said 3.5.
3.5 is not a B-. That's a B+.
That's not a B+. Out of 5?
Out of 5. 3.
That means there's still a star and a half left. That means a B,
oh, no, no,
a
wait,
B
no, no.
would
three,
be
no,
4.
No, no.
A
that
B
would
be
a
4.
C+. You want to give it a C+.
Maybe that's what I want to give it instead of a B- is a C+.
3.25.
3.14159?
Yeah.
2, 6,
you
want to
give
4?
It a pie?
Yeah.
How far can you go?
That's as far as I can
that's
go.
That's it. Okay. All right.
That was a good one. And don't forget that you can email us at futilepodcast@gmail.com, and you can check out our blog at www.graniteseed.com/futilepodcast. Stole my heart the moment you came to town. Said hello, but you were gone when I turned around. Way you move, just the way you move. Hey.
Are you vibrating?
No.
Oh, he's
now we're styling
podcasting and
the dual sunglass wearing podcasters.